Hello, NBA fans, and welcome to the Big Shot Pod. And as always, I'm your host, Chaba Baja. And the last time we spoke, it was part one of our collaboration with our friends at Clutch Talk. By the way, I just have a quick announcement. Part two of our collaboration with Clutch Talk will be on Wednesday. It will not be here on the Shot Pod, on the Big Shot Pod, excuse me. It will be on their podcast. So it will be on Clutch Talk. I will be a guest on their podcast. We're going to go over everything. It's basically going to be a finals preview. So please go over to Clutch Talk and listen to their podcast. Like I said, I'm going to be on it. But still, even though I'm going to have an episode with them on, actually it's not Wednesday, it's going to be on Tuesday night that we're going to be recording. So they're probably going to, be posting it around midnight. So pretty much Wednesday. But even though I am going to make a podcast with them on Tuesday, Wednesday, I am going to post a podcast myself here on the Big Shot Pod. So please go listen to their podcast. Like I said, I'm going to be a guest on them. But even though I'm going to be a guest on their podcast, I am going to do a show on the Big Shot Pod as well. So last time we spoke, the Bucks were still fighting it out with the Hawks, and the Suns were already, they beat the Clippers to go on to the NBA Finals, and they were waiting to see who was winning out of the Bucks and Hawks. So two nights ago, the series was decided and the Bucks won the series. So the NBA Finals will be the Milwaukee Bucks against the Phoenix Suns. But before we talk a little bit about that, I just want to go over what happened with the Bucks and Hawks. So last time we spoke, it was game five. So game six was, like I said, two nights ago. The Bucks won 118 to 107. Again, there was no Giannis Antetokounmpo, but Trae Young actually came back from his injury. If you remember, he was out the previous two games with a bone bruise in his ankle. So he was able to come back. Unfortunately, you could tell he wasn't at 100%. So that is unfortunate. So like I said, the Bucks won 118 to 107. So the series ended 4-2 for the Bucks. For the Bucks, Chris Middleton ended with 32 points, 4 rebounds, 7 assists, 10 of 22 shooting, 4 of 10 from 3-point land. Drew Holiday, he was big in the last two games. Game 6, he ended with 27 points, 9 rebounds, 9 assists, so almost a triple-double, while shooting 7 of 12 from the field, 40% from, or excuse me, no, he shot 11 for 23 from the field, 4 of 12 from 3-point land. I'm sorry. And Brooke Lopez, he was big in the last two games. Game five, he ended with 33 points. In game six, he ended with 13.6 rebounds, but still crucial minutes, crucial points. And for the Hawks, Cam Reddish, he was just outstanding. He ended game six with 21 points, along with 3 rebounds, 3 assists. He shot 6 for 7 from 3-point land. Bogdan Bogdanovic, he shot 7 to 12 from the field, getting him 20 points, 2 rebounds, 3 assists, 40% from 3. And Trae Young, like I said, he was able to play, but you could tell he was injured. He couldn't play at 100%, but he ended with 14 points, 4 rebounds, 9 assists, shot 0 for 6 from 3. So like I said, no Giannis in this game, so Middleton really had to step it up, which he did. The first half, you know, he was pretty normal, but the third quarter, you know, he started off quick with 8 quick points. Trae Young all game was just missing shots. Bogdan Bogdanovic, he started playing well finally in game 5. You know, as you know, during the season, he was not playing well. He was shooting horribly. He was averaging 6 points for the series. Game 5, he ended with a lot more points than last time. He had ended with, I believe, 26 points. And this game, he ended with 20. The big story of the game, I think, for the Hawks, a positive note anyway, was Cam Reddish. As you know, he came back from injury a couple games ago, and ever since coming back into the series, he was just playing really well, super confident, making shots. Like I said, game six, he ended up making 6 3-pointers out of 7, which is really good. And Reddish is also now the second 21-year-old to make 6 3-pointers in a conference final, joining Kobe Bryant, who did it in 2000. Also, Cam Reddish's 6 3-pointers is the most 3-pointers made by a Hawks bench player in a playoff game in their franchise history. So like I said, he really made a huge impact. He was really impressive, really confident. I mean, you couldn't even tell that he was injured. So good for him. On top of Chris Middleton doing some big scoring here in the last two games, Drew Holiday, he really stepped it up in the absence of Giannis. He was just outstanding. Like I said, almost a triple-double with his 27 points, 9 rebounds, 9 assists. His defense was incredible. Obviously, his scoring, his passing was great. Super confident. So that is something that the Hawks are, that the Bucks are definitely going to want to see in the NBA Finals. Offensive rebound was the one thing that was killing the Hawks, which is, you know, good news for the Bucks, obviously, because they won the series. But, you know, I think that the rebounding and the Bucks size is really going to be an advantage for the Bucks in the finals. We'll talk a little bit more about the NBA Finals preview, but I just wanted to throw that in. After the third quarter, the Bucks were leading 91-72. They were just playing really well. In the fourth quarter, though, the Hawks did make a 22-7 run, which brought the game within a 6-point differential. So even though the Hawks were losing big by the end of the third quarter, they made a big run. They were really resilient. They've really been resilient all playoffs long. We saw it against the Sixers where they came back from a 26-point deficit, and now we saw it in this game, and we saw it, you know, not just this game or the 26-point deficit with the Sixers, but we've seen it a couple times where they've made pretty big comebacks. So really resilient young group. Like I said, Cam Reddish was incredible. The Bucks defense was excellent. They can finally hang their hats off on one of their biggest assets, which is their defense, which was pretty questionable during the playoffs. But finally, these last two games, I think the Bucks really stepped up, and they looked really determined to stop the Hawks and, you know, get this series wrapped up. Trae Young, like I said, only 14 points. He was clearly bothered by the injury. You could just tell, you know, whenever he'd run in for layups, you could see him come down on his foot and then trot back to the defensive side of things. He just looked, you know, just didn't look like himself. But obviously he was still passing the ball, which is, you know, one of his best assets. I think it's his best asset, the passing, end with 9 assists. So the Bucks really, you know, even though they lost, they did everything they could. So hats off to them. So the Bucks are now heading to the NBA Finals. It's their third trip to the finals. Their last trip coming in 1974. And also, just to give some credit to Trae Young, you know, here's a nice stat. Players in NBA history to average 28-plus points per game and 9-plus assists a game in a single playoff run, with a minimum of 15 games played in that playoff run. The two players to do that, to average those 28 points and 9 assists, LeBron James in 2018 and Trae Young in these playoffs. So Trae Young is just, you know, absolutely fantastic. He's a great franchise player. He's definitely proven that the Luka Doncic trade for the Hawks and the Mavs was not a negative trade for the Hawks. It's not a negative trade either for the Mavs. Obviously, the Mavs got the better player out of Trae Young and Doncic, but, you know, Trae Young, you know, he's right there. I mean, he's not on the same level as Luka, but he's just a step below. That's how good Trae Young is. He definitely proved himself in these playoffs. You know, I can't recall a player that in a playoff run, in a single playoff, in his first playoff run, I can't remember a player that, you know, elevated himself and made a name for himself the way Trae Young did in these playoffs. You know, he was really confident. He never gave up. He was really resilient. He was scoring in bunches, getting a lot of assists, doing it with, you know, doing it with flair too. I mean, he was just really, really incredible, really fun to watch. He was a good leader for the Hawks. So yeah, the Hawks are definitely in good hands with Trae Young. Also, hats off to Chris Middleton. He really stepped up when the Bucks needed it most. Just here's the examples. Game 6 versus the Brooklyn Nets, Chris Middleton ended with 38 points, 10 rebounds, 5 assists. And Game 7 versus the Brooklyn Nets, he ended with 23 points, 10 rebounds, 6 assists. And now in this series against the Hawks, Chris Middleton in Game 5 and Game 6 without Giannis, Chris Middleton really stepped up in Game 5 with his 26 points, 13 rebounds, 8 assists, and then two nights ago in Game 6 against Atlanta with his 32 points, 4 rebounds, and 7 assists. So, you know, Chris Middleton really stepped up. That's one of the things that I harped about, you know, with Clutch Talk in our last episode, was Chris Middleton not stepping up, Drew Holiday not stepping up with Giannis out. You know, obviously, you know, without Giannis, the Bucks needed a leader. They needed a guy who could get the points that they were missing from Giannis. And Chris Middleton was able to do that. But also Drew Holiday, you know, both of them really stepped up as a nice duo. Drew Holiday finally, you know, showed everyone why he's one of the better point guards in the league, one of the most underrated players in the league. You know, so they both really stepped up, so hats off to them. And also an interesting thing, in the last three games between the Bucks and the Hawks, there were zero lead changes. So that's how, you know, that's how determined these two teams were. The Hawks won in Game 4. There were no lead changes there. So right from the beginning, they knew that they wanted to win that game, and they did. And then Game 5 and Game 6, the same thing for the Bucks. So hats off to the Bucks. They're going to the NBA Finals. We're going to talk about that here in a little bit, but I just wanted to throw out, you know, the Hawks were really great. Nate McMillan, as you know, he took over the Hawks coaching position about a little less than halfway through the season. You know, he took over for Jack Vaughn, who got fired by the Hawks. And then Nate McMillan, ever since taking over for the Hawks, he had a 27-11 record to close out the regular season. So really good coaching. He really took over, you know, he really got the Hawks players to believe in him, to believe in themselves. And, you know, ever since Nate took over, the Hawks were one of the best teams in the league, no doubt about it. And then obviously in the playoffs, they had a 10-8 record, you know, just surpassing expectations, beating the Knicks, beating the Sixers, and now, you know, making it to the conference finals and making it to six games. So really impressive. So obviously the Hawks' priority number one is to sign Nate McMillan, who's still considered an interim coach. So this offseason, they definitely need to pay Nate McMillan. Obviously, it's up to Nate if he wants to join the Hawks again, or if he wants to go to a different team if he gets offers. But he obviously proved that he can do well with this Hawks team. And Hawks fans should just be excited about what's in the future. Now, another thing that the Hawks really need to consider this offseason is what they're going to do with John Collins. John Collins, earlier this season, he rejected a $90 million extension. He thinks that he's worth more, which obviously he's a great player, but he is looking for a max contract. And one thing to look out for the Hawks is they're not only going to have to pay John Collins. Trae Young is eligible for an extension this offseason, which won't count. He won't start getting paid this coming season, but the season after is when they're going to have to start paying him that max deal to Trae Young. And are they going to be able to afford it? You know, Capella's on a pretty hefty deal. Gallinari's actually on a pretty hefty deal. Bogdanović is on an $80 million deal. And then if they want to add, obviously Trae Young then is going to be on a supermax deal. And then John Collins, how are they going to do that? You know, if he rejected a $90 million deal, that means that he's looking for about $120 to $140 million deal. So can the Hawks afford that? They're definitely going to have to move pieces around if they want to accommodate him. So it would be interesting to see, because other teams are also going to be very interested in John Collins. So it's really, really, really going to be interesting to see what the Hawks are able to pull off. So that's that. So now we're going to see the Milwaukee Bucks and the Phoenix Suns in the NBA Finals. What a weird finals. To begin the season, you definitely would not have predicted this. To begin the playoffs, you would not have predicted this. Even just two rounds ago, you wouldn't have seen this coming. You know, as I've stated before, I am not exactly happy with the team that came out of the Western Conference. I have nothing against the Phoenix Suns, but as I've explained on this podcast, and as I explained to my guys over at Clutch Talk the last episode, you know, the Suns have had an easy road to the finals, and even they admitted it. You know, the Suns have had a really easy road to the finals. In my opinion, they really haven't been tested, even though the Clippers did a great job. But look at this. I mean, the Suns in round one, they played LeBron James and Anthony Davis and the LA Lakers. Anthony Davis got injured. I believe it was game two. He got injured, and after that, we didn't see him except for the last game in that series, where Anthony Davis only played about 6 minutes. So that whole series, the Suns had to play the Lakers with no AD. Also, LeBron James was not at 100%. He was still recovering from his high ankle sprain that took him out of, I believe it was about 30 games in the season. So LeBron was not 100%, and AD was injured, so that's an easy series for the Suns. Round two, they had to play the Denver Nuggets, who, as we all know, did not have Jamal Murray. With about a month left in the season, in the regular season, Jamal Murray got injured. He tore his ACL, so he was out. So the Nuggets had to play without Jamal Murray in round two against the Suns. Will Barton was injured for about two games, so he didn't really, you know, even when he came back into the series, he wasn't really, you know, he didn't have a flow to himself and his play with the Nuggets. Also, the Nuggets were missing PJ Dozier, which, say what you know, what you want. I know a lot of people are going to be like, why does PJ Dozier matter? Well, PJ Dozier is a great defensive guard. So that right there, almost their whole backcourt was injured for the Nuggets. So that's, you know, obviously an unfair advantage for the Suns. Obviously they won that series pretty easy in five games. And then this last series against the Clippers, you know, the Clippers were obviously missing Kawhi Leonard. They were missing Serge Ibaka. And then they were missing Ivica Zubats in the last two games. So three rounds the Suns have had to play to get to the finals, and three rounds they've had an easy matchup. And even then, the Clippers took them to six games, and you could argue that the Clippers could have won, should have won the first two games that the Suns won. So you could argue that the Suns should have lost that series, and that's without three guys that the Clippers didn't have. So, you know, I just find their whole playoff run to be questionable. This whole Phoenix Suns love fest is overrated to me. I don't think it's really fair, but, you know, they're going to have to prove it here in the NBA Finals against the Milwaukee Bucks, which, just look at this, the Milwaukee Bucks heading into the NBA Finals, we don't know how long Giannis Antetokounmpo is going to be out. Is he going to miss game one? Is he going to miss game two? Is he going to miss the rest of the series? You know, he hyperextended that knee, and, you know, it's... You know, it's going to be interesting to see how the Bucks manage that. But yeah, like I said, the Phoenix Suns, I'm not... Obviously, the Suns do not control who they get to play in the playoffs. They happen to be the lucky team. They got to play three injured teams, and they got to the NBA Finals. You know, kudos to them. They took advantage of the situation. But just because they've made it doesn't mean I'm impressed. You know, they have a lot to... a lot to prove, and hopefully the Bucks are at 100%. I mean, they're already going in, they're missing Dante DiVincenzo, and, you know, as of right now, they're missing Giannis, which I hope Giannis gets to play. It looks like he will get to play. The only thing is that it's kind of questionable if he's going to play the first two games or not, which I hope he does, but I also hope he doesn't rush it and hurt himself. But you know, even just looking at the finals, the Suns already have an advantage injury-wise. So, you know, that's what I'm saying. This whole season, kind of, if the Suns win the championship, in my opinion, there will be an asterisk on their winning of the season. But that's just me. But it's going to be interesting to see how the Suns do. You know, the Milwaukee Bucks are not an easy team. You know, as I've said pretty much all playoffs long, the Bucks coaching is awful. You know, the way they manage the game is awful because of their coach, and even with a bad coach, they made it to the finals. You know, so the Bucks are gonna be a tough opponent. Obviously, they have great players, and the obvious Giannis Antetokounmpo. They also obviously have Chris Middleton, Jrue Holiday, Brook Lopez. You know, they have, you know, great, you know, tenacity guys such as Pat Connaughton, Bobby Portis, who really showed himself out here in these in the series against the Hawks. You know, the Bucks have a good squad, so it's going to be really fun to see. It's going to see how DeAndre Ayton is able to match up against the Bucks. Pretty much all playoffs long, we've had to see DeAndre Ayton defend down on the block. It's going to be interesting to see how he's able to defend a guy like Brook Lopez for the Bucks. You know, Brook Lopez is obviously not a center that plays down on the block. He's not a back-to-the-basket kind of guy. We know that Brook Lopez hangs around the perimeter, and DeAndre Ayton can't, you know, give him... DeAndre Ayton cannot be off of... He can't give Brook Lopez space. In other words, DeAndre Ayton can't try and hang around the basket and also try and defend Brook Lopez, because Brook Lopez, if he has any sort of spacing, he's going to take the shot and he's going to shoot those threes and he's probably going to make them. So it's really going to be interesting to see how effective DeAndre Ayton is when he has to hang around out at the perimeter defensively. Obviously, Giannis Antetokounmpo is going to be a really tough matchup. Who's going to guard him? Is it going to be Jay Crowder? You know, is it going to be a guy like Cam Johnson? Is it going to be a Torrey Craig? That's going to be interesting to see. Who's going to be able to handle Bobby Portis? If Bobby Portis is able to play the way he played in this last series against the Hawks, he's going to be a really big problem. Obviously, he's a... he can shoot threes. He likes to hang around the basket because he's a really big, tough, strong guy. He gets offensive rebounds. So it's really going to be interesting there. Chris Paul is going to have a really tough matchup. Obviously, Chris, I believe he's 36 years old, so he's not getting any younger. And he's going to have to go up against a guy like Jrue Holiday. Obviously, Chris Paul is a great defender, but is he going to be able to guard Chris Paul? And obviously, is he going to be able to be effective against a guy like Jrue Holiday, who is the best defender in the league? Jrue Holiday had a little bit of problems defending Trae Young because Trae Young is so young and quick. Chris Paul is none of those things. So it's really going to be interesting to see how Jrue Holiday can defend Chris Paul. I have faith in Jrue Holiday. I think that he is going to be great, and I think he's going to really defend Chris Paul really well. And then you got a guy like Devin Booker. You know, Devin Booker had problems with Pat Bev. Chris Middleton is a great defender. And also Devin Booker is going to have to be guarding Chris Middleton, and Chris Middleton, he's a great scorer. So Devin Booker is going to have his hands full, not just offensively, but defensively. And like I said, the size is going to be a problem. How effective is DeAndre Ayton going to be, like I said, defensively? But also, one of the main things that made DeAndre Ayton such a great player during these playoffs was his rebounding, especially offensive rebounding, because he gave the Phoenix Suns a lot of second chances with the offensive rebounds. Is he going to be able to do that against a tall, big team like the Bucks? You know, Brook Lopez, he's 7'2". Bobby Portis, he's, I think, about 6'9", 6'10", but it's not really his size that, you know, gets him rebounds. It's his hustle. It's his placement. So he's really, really good rebounding-wise. So it's just really going to be interesting how these teams match up. I think it's going to come down to the role players. So it's really going to be fun to see what the Bucks are going to do. I think, in my opinion, I think the Bucks are going to win this. If they can stay healthy, I think the Bucks are going to win this just because of their defense. Their defense is elite. The Suns also have good defense, but nowhere near what the Bucks can be when they're at 100% and when they play at their best. The Suns can score, but also the Bucks can score too. And also, the biggest thing here, the most obvious, predicament, who's going to stop Giannis for the Bucks? Is it going to be Jay Crowder? Jay Crowder isn't really big enough, I don't think. Cam Johnson, I don't think he's strong enough. He's long enough, but he's not strong enough to stop Giannis. Torrey Craig is a great defender, but he's not tall enough. And he's not strong enough. So it's really going to be interesting how these teams match up. I think that this can be a series where Giannis Antetokounmpo can really, really thrive. So I'm really excited to see how well Giannis plays. But it's going to be a matchup. It's going to be a great matchup. So, let's see what happens. Like I said, I think that it's going to be the Bucks that pull it out. I think it's going to be Bucks in six. Let's see what happens. If you guys have any opinions, if you guys have any suggestions, like I said, hit me up on Twitter at the Big Shot Pod. So that is the preview. Like I said, I'm not going too much into depth with this finals preview because I'm going to talk about it as well, like I said, on Clutch Talk. So I'm not going to go over that too much. And when I talk to you guys next time, we will have seen game one of the NBA Finals. So also I'm going to go over that. But there's also some news going out around in the NBA. There's speculation with Kawhi Leonard. There's speculation with, will Kawhi Leonard stay with the LA Clippers? And as I stated last episode with Clutch Talk, I said, why not go to Dallas? It's, why not? And they kind of laughed because I'm a Mavs fan, and obviously I seem like an optimistic, unrealistic Mavs fan. But guess what? There are reports that the Dallas Mavericks are the front runners to sign Kawhi Leonard in the offseason. So who's laughing now? Kawhi Leonard, I think Kawhi Leonard, it would be in his best interest to stay with the Clippers. I think that's where he probably has the best chance. But, you know, if he does leave, obviously, like I said, the Mavericks are the front runners, and another front runner are the Miami Heat. Now, we also talked about this last episode with Clutch Talk about the pairing of Miami and Kawhi Leonard. And we all seem to agree that we're not so sure about that, that match between the Heat and Kawhi. Obviously, Kawhi, for lack of a better term, is pampered. He's babied. He's spoiled. He gets to, obviously partake in load management. He's basically the guy that started the whole load management thing. Miami, they have a Heat culture, and it's called the Heat culture for a reason. And Pat Riley instilled that in the Miami Heat, which is where they treat every player the same. No one gets, preferential treatment. They expect every player to give 100%. They expect every player to play every game. No ifs, ands, buts. So it's going to be interesting. That's the reason why I don't think Kawhi would really match up well, because Kawhi, like I said, likes to be babied. He likes to take games off. He likes to, sometimes not travel with the team, blah, blah, blah. So it's really, it'd be an interesting matchup, and I don't see it going well. Also, like our friend Jay Hill over at Clutch Talk mentioned last time as well, he doesn't think Jimmy Butler and Kawhi would, mix well. And I kind of thought about it, and I said, well, I think that they would. They both bring defensive tenacity. I think that they would complement each other well. But then I thought about it more, and Jimmy Butler had a problem in Minnesota when he was on the Timberwolves. He had a problem with the players at the Timberwolves because they didn't give, they didn't play 100%. They weren't, they didn't hustle. So that caused a lot of turmoil between Jimmy Butler and the Timberwolves players, and that's why he ultimately left. And I can see Jimmy Butler having a problem with Kawhi Leonard, like I said, because Kawhi Leonard likes to be baby. He likes to take games off. And Jimmy Butler, he does not seem like a guy who has a tolerance for that. So I don't know about that pairing, but that's something to keep an eye out. But like I said, Dallas and Miami are the front runners, but Dallas being the number one front runner. Also, something that I saw is that Kemba Walker, as Kemba Walker was on the Celtics, and he just recently got traded to the Oklahoma City Thunder for Al Horford and some picks. So there was speculation as to whether Kemba Walker would stay on the Thunder, or if the Thunder would try and deal him. Now, there are rumors that both LA teams, the Lakers and the Clippers, will try and pursue Kemba Walker. Now, that's something interesting, because the Clippers have no money to, they have no cap space. So obviously they'd have to make some trades to make that happen. And we all know that one thing that the Thunder are looking for in these trades are picks. The Thunder have 36 picks in the next 7 years. And the Lakers don't really have picks. So the Lakers have no picks and they have no money. So I don't know how the Lakers are going to, get Kemba Walker. The Clippers, it'd be interesting to see, like I said, if Kawhi stays, they would obviously be able to pursue, Kemba Walker. So that'd be interesting to see. Kemba Walker, as we know, he is definitely injury prone. He has a problem with his knee. So it would be interesting. If I ran a team, I would stay the hell away from Kemba Walker, just because of what I said. He's injury prone. You don't know what you're going to get from him. And he gets paid a lot of money. So that's that. The Cavaliers will also, looking to move Kevin Love in the offseason. Kevin Love, as we know, will be joining the Olympics. Kevin Love hasn't done much in the last 3 years. He's either been injured or he's been throwing a hissy fit on the Cavs because he doesn't want to be there anymore. So it'd be interesting to see what an old Kevin Love, injury-prone Kevin Love, can do. It would also be interesting to see who would want to go after Kevin Love. So that's interesting. And also, the Cavs are looking to possibly move Colin Sexton. The Cavs, as you know, they have a draft pick. They have an early draft pick. So it is going to be interesting to see what they do. Colin Sexton would be out the door if they get a good draft pick. So, you know, the Cavs have the number 3 pick. Would they get a guy? Obviously, Cade Cunningham is more than likely going to be taken, but would they get a guy like Jalen Suggs? Would they get a guy like, Jalen Green? So it'd be really interesting to see what they do. Colin Sexton and Kevin Love might be out the door for the Cavs. And also, a rumor that I saw is that if the Cavs are able to get a good young center, they would be looking to move Jared Allen. And we all know Jared Allen is a very sought-after player. He's a great young center, great hustle. He's an instant double-double. He can defend. It'd be interesting to see what the Cavs do. Basically on the trading block are Colin Sexton, Kevin Love, and Jared Allen. So keep an eye out for that. I definitely will, and I will inform you if anything happens. Also, rumors that the Knicks are interested in packaging RJ Barrett in a deal for a star guard such as Damian Lillard or Bradley Beal. Now, that would be interesting. I don't see any sort of package that the Knicks can make to the Portland Trailblazers that the Trailblazers would accept. Obviously the Trailblazers do not want to trade Damian Lillard, but reports are that Damian Lillard is frustrated with the direction that the Blazers are going in. So if he demands a trade, he will be out the door. So the question is, will he demand a trade? But if he does, like I said, the Knicks would be a possible suitor. I'm not sure how likely that is, but we will see. Also, rumors coming out of New York is that the Knicks are interested in possibly signing Chris Paul if Chris Paul doesn't get an extension with the Suns. So Chris Paul, we've seen him work his magic with every team he's gone to. They've made the playoffs. Obviously, the Knicks made the playoffs this season and they're heading in the right direction. If they add Chris Paul, that would be a good team. So it'd be interesting to see, if they're able to land a guy like Chris Paul, which would be really cool to see because, obviously the problem with the Knicks is that, they've had such a dysfunctional organization, they haven't been able to get free agents. But if they're able to get a guy like Chris Paul, that proves to other players and to the league, it proves that, the Knicks are now able to get free agents. And will they be able to get more free agents if they get a guy like Chris Paul? So that'd be interesting to see. Also, rumors that the Miami Heat are one of the teams interested in Colin Sexton. As we know, Victor Oladipo was acquired by the Miami Heat, but there are reports that Victor Oladipo might not be able to start the season because of his injury. As you know, he got injured before the playoffs. So Victor Oladipo, poor guy, he has just had a complete history of injuries. One of the big questions is, will the Heat be able... Will the Heat want to sign Victor Oladipo in an extension with them this offseason. You know, obviously, like I said, he's an injury-prone player, so the number one question is, will he be able to play? And if he won't be able to play, why would they want to pay him? So I'll keep my eyes peeled on that, what they do with the Victor Oladipo situation. But like I said, if they are interested in getting a guy, one of the guys they're interested in getting is Colin Sexton, which is a young up-and-coming player. There have been there's been a little bit of turmoil in Cleveland with Colin Sexton because other players say that he's a ball hog and he doesn't pass the ball, which if you do watch him play, he does hang on to the ball a lot. But if there's a team that can, you know, change that around and develop him into a good passer, into a guy that can, you know, work with a team, it's definitely the Miami Heat. So that'd be an interesting destination for him. Also, interesting thing to watch, Pascal Siakam for the Toronto Raptors is listed as a name to watch, quote unquote, as a potential trade target for the Warriors. Now that would be a really fun thing to watch out for. What would the Warriors want to trade? Would they want to package, say, James Wiseman and their pick? You know, a number 6 pick or the number, or excuse me, they have the number 7 pick and the number 14 pick, the Warriors do. So would the Warriors want to package James Wiseman and one of those picks for Pascal Siakam? Would they want to trade a guy like Andrew Wiggins for Pascal Siakam? As we know, Andrew Wiggins is Canadian, so, you know, him going to Toronto, that'd be interesting. And also there are other rumors that Pascal Siakam would be, you know, a potential trade partner to land other players. So basically, Pascal Siakam is on the trade block for the Raptors. So that's something really interesting to keep an eye out. Also, one last thing is the Sixers turned down a trade with the Indiana Pacers that involved Ben Simmons. Now, the trade was that the Indiana Pacers, well, obviously the Sixers would have sent Ben Simmons to Indiana. In return, the Sixers would have received Malcolm Brogdon and a first-round pick. And the report is that the Sixers rejected the deal. Now, in my opinion, I think that Malcolm Brogdon and a first pick is a great deal for Ben Simmons. And honestly, I don't know if the Sixers will get a better deal than that. You know, Malcolm Brogdon has proved himself. The problem is that Malcolm Brogdon is a little questionable when it comes to health. He has been quite injured as of late. He was pretty healthy this last season, but Malcolm Brogdon, he can score, he can pass, he's a good leader, he can rebound, he can get your triple doubles, you know. So Malcolm Brogdon paired with a guy like Joel Embiid, paired with a guy like Tobias Harris, paired with a guy like Seth Curry, that would be interesting. And I think that that would be a great deal. I think that the Sixers, I think that's good value for Ben Simmons. And also remember, they're throwing in a first-round pick. No clarification on if that is a pick for this year, next year, 2025. They didn't clarify. They just said a first-round pick. So, you know, that is, I think, a fair deal for Ben Simmons, especially now after this playoff performance by Ben Simmons, as we know, was not good. He showed everyone that he can't shoot. He showed everyone that he's afraid to shoot. So, you know, that's, like I said, I think that's a fair deal. But like I said, another thing that I will keep an eye out for, you guys. And that is pretty much it. That's all I've got for you guys. I just wanted to make a quick podcast. I know that it's not necessarily a short podcast, but it's, you know, it feels a lot quicker than most. But yeah, I just wanted to go over, this last series and let you guys, give you guys a small preview for the NBA Finals between the Bucks and the Suns. I just also wanted to get you guys informed on, you know, what's going around rumor-wise around the league when it comes to trades in the offseason. But like I said, I will be on Clutch Talk podcast on Wednesday. But I will also be posting a podcast of my own here on the Big Shot Pod on Wednesday as well. So yeah, that is all I have for you guys. I'm really, really happy, with how the podcast is growing. I'm getting some really big numbers that I really did not expect to have this early, with the podcast. So I really just have to thank you guys, the listeners. Obviously I wouldn't be able to do this without you guys. And like I said, I'm having some really good, numbers growth wise with the podcast. So I just want to say thank you guys, for the support. I'm really looking forward to, to keep doing this podcast and, keep you guys informed on what's going on in the NBA. And also I look forward to doing more collaborations with other podcasts. Right now I'm in the works on, right now I'm trying to schedule, two podcasts that I would do with two different podcasts, not just the Clutch Talk on Wednesday, but I have two other podcasts that I'm trying to work with. So that's going to be fun. But yeah, I'm just having a really fun time, guys. And you guys are really, showing a lot of appreciation for what I do. And so I'm showing my appreciation by trying to grow the podcast even more. But anyways, like I said, that's pretty much it. Like always, you guys can reach me at the Big Shot Pod on Twitter. Like I said, the @ on Twitter is @ the Big Shot Pod. Please communicate with us, send us a message, mention us, whatever you gotta do to get our attention. If you have any questions, if you have any topics that you want us to cover, anything like that, like I said, please hit us up on Twitter @ the Big Shot Pod. But all right, guys, that is pretty much it. As always, I'm your host, Shaba Baja. Thank you so much for listening to the Big Shot Pod. And, well, have a good night, guys.